Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. Several weeks ago, I recorded a podcast about all the adaptations and changes that have occurred in the deer population on my property as they come to grips with their shrinking habitat and the need to coexist with me. Often, it's easy for us to accept this kind of transformation in wild animals. On the other hand, when it comes to domesticated species, and particularly our most domesticated one, the dog, we tend to look at this as a static process. We tell ourselves that dogs were domesticated X thousand years ago, and that basically all dogs are pretty much created equal. We assume, especially here in the U.S., that they will all adapt to the same kind of teaching system. And if the animal can't learn under that system, then we label the animal and doom it to a downward spiral of the kind I referred to in last week's podcast. Lately, I've been having one of the most enchanting experiences in my professional career, working with animals with serious behavioral problems. I've been working with a dog who is from strong farm dog lines. I'm not going to tell you what breed this dog is, because when people want and need a good farm dog is breed enough. They don't have to slap a name on it. For sure, they don't want to cram these dogs into some fixed standard. They want the best dog for the job. And if you work outdoors, and if your livelihood and your survival depends on this dog, you know that the mentality that works in one environment may not work in another. And you recognize that the dogs may look different, but you don't give a damn. You want the dog who does the best job, and you don't care what that dog looks like. I have to admit, this particular dog has totally blown me away. I have rarely encountered an animal who was so smart. And I'm just not talking about smart like this would make a great agility dog or a dog for dog sports. This dog would be a great farm dog. A dog who does a little bit of this and a little bit of that, depending on the need. An adaptable dog, a dog who is deeply ingrained in learning by modeling. This results in a paradox. For the farmer or the rancher who's looking for a dog, such animals are easy keepers. They require minimal effort to teach. They're energy efficient. They don't work all the time because they are energy efficient. When they sleep soundly. They're good companions. They can be predators. They can be protectors. They can be herders. They can pull ropes. They can help dig holes. They can do all kinds of things because they learn by modeling. Put them with another dog doing the job, put them with a person doing the job, and they've got it. That's the good news. Sounds like the perfect dog, doesn't it? The paradox about these easy keepers is that they fail miserably in companion dog training. They're simply not wired to learn using a system that is totally out of context and non-brain friendly. Such a teaching method is very frustrating. And because of this, these animals get into trouble. And once again, we go back to labeling. They get into trouble with a normal teaching method. For whatever reason, all positive becomes all negative when a dog refuses to accept all positive. We seem to take that more personally for some reason. It's kind of like offering a dog paradise, and the dog says, up yours, and then we want to get even with the dog. But for whatever reason, these dogs usually are condemned, either to go back to the breeder, who perhaps realizes their mistake, that what they defined as a working dog wasn't really what this person wanted. This person really wanted a pet dog that they could sort of work with. In the worst case scenario, the owner is convinced that there's no hope for the dog and the dog should be put down. But seeing these easy keepers is just mind-boggling to me. To see how quickly that dog picks up on what people are doing. What a boon that is for us. Providing, of course, we want to assume that responsibility. As I'll discuss in my next podcast, a lot of times we don't.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.